Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Indeed, we're going to turn our attention to God's Word at this time. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can pull those out now. Or if you have the Bible app on your phone, you can find that as well. And I'm going to guide us to what I think is probably the easiest Bible passage to find of them all. Because we're going to be in the very first book, the very first chapter, and we're going to start in the very first verse. So the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1, we're going to start here in Genesis in just a little bit, and then we've got a few other passages I'm going to guide us to throughout our time together. But if you could have that passage open at this moment, I would love that. And then leave it open as we read a little later and then study it today. We are continuing on in this sermon series where we are studying together these foundations for our faith. And, you know, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And so we're talking about these things that we do see or these things that we do know that are able to strengthen and support that faith. And we've talked about a lot of things already throughout this fall season. We talked about this idea of revelation, really of the Word of God and how the Word of God has authority and points us to Jesus and helps reveal God to us and God's plan for us. And we spent a Sunday talking about God himself, and we spent a Sunday talking about Jesus. And then last week, we spent time looking at the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, we have another foundation for our faith that is before us. And before we jump into that this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something with me. I tried this with our worship ministry team a couple of weeks ago, and I think it went okay. So I thought, well, let's try it in a little bigger group as well. I believe that this world of ours, the earth that we live on, the universe that is boundless around it, I believe it is absolutely incredible. If I could, they say, oh, if you had all the money in the world and all the time in the world, what would you do? I would love to just travel around this earth and to see all the beauty upon it. Maybe you're like me, and that's a life ambition for you, or maybe you're like, no, I'm good, keep me indoors, I'm fine with that. But what I'm going to ask us to do this morning is to share what is the most wonderful or fantastic or fabulous or your favorite thing you have ever seen on earth. So I'm going to have you in just a moment turn to a neighbor. Maybe you went to the national parks and you saw this majestic mountain. That was your favorite thing you saw. Or maybe you've traveled internationally and saw beautiful waterfalls. Or maybe you love to see the northern lights and their brilliant color at night. Or maybe you love tropical islands or the Grand Canyon. Or maybe you stood on a glacier. Or perhaps you have swam at the Great Barrier Reef. How cool would that be, right? So whatever it is, I'm going to ask you to turn to a neighbor, left or right, front, behind you, does not matter, and share with them what is your favorite thing you have ever seen in creation, and why was that? Why did that stir your heart? What was it about that that made an impression upon you? So take a quick minute, find a neighbor, do that, and then I will pull us back together. Ready? Go. All right, I'm going to give you like 5 to 10 seconds to wrap up. All right, let's try something here. I would love to hear from some of you. So who would want to shout out what was a favorite place? Barry, you raised your hand. Very nice of you to raise your hand. What would you like to, what was the favorite place that you saw?
The Pacific Ocean.
Pacific Ocean. Just enormous, right? Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. Wonderful, wonderful waterfalls. They're fantastic, aren't they? Yes. Thank you, Esther. What else? What else? The northern lights fill in the sky. Beautiful, right? Just amazing, the brilliant colors. Yeah, what, anything else? Anything else? Anybody else want to? In Holland, like the nation Holland? Like, yeah, so you're talking Europe here, not the Holland city where, in Michigan. Yeah. No. There's tulip gardens there too, but these gardens in Holland, just beautiful, huh? Fantastic. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, just the diversity of what you even share. One more. Evan in the back. Yeah, nice and loud, buddy. The mountains in Colorado, impressive, aren't they? I mean, a little different than the flatlands of Iowa, right? Absolutely, yeah, a little different. I love the mountains too, but I'm always, I don't know, maybe I'm an Iowa kid. I kind of like it when we're back on the flat area, yes. But the mountains are amazing, right? And just, I mean, I love this, right? The diversity from water to waterfalls, oceans to mountains to light. I mean, just the beauty of creation, right? I have to confess, when I was writing, so I write a rough draft of a message every week, and when I was writing the rough draft, I got to this part, and I have to confess, I spent way too much time on my own phone looking through my pictures and like, all right, I got to find, what is the one picture that is my favorite thing I've ever seen? And you might recognize this, Jude. I know you got your hand raised, but, you know, I was looking through these and, it was impossible to narrow it down to just one. So I've got about 35 pictures I'm going to show you. No, I'm kidding. That's kind of like when you go to the family reunion, you're like, oh, another picture, right? But I do have a picture that I want to show you this morning. This is, if we can have the picture up there, there it is. So this is Glacier National Park. Our family was blessed to be able to go there last year. And what I love about this picture is how smooth the water is on this lake. Now, I wish I had gotten my camera out 1 second earlier, 1 minute earlier, because there was a taxi bus or boat that had gone. And you can kind of start to see the ripples on the side, but it was just absolutely still. And the mountain there just stands so majestic. And so I do have one more picture. I couldn't just do one. So I do have another one here. We go to the second one here. This is also Glacier National Park. Just absolutely gorgeous. I promise that's it. I don't have any more. But I do have more on my phone if you want to see some later. Hey? Creation. And it is just amazing, isn't it? Creation. Creation is our foundation for our faith today. And what we want to talk about today is, what do we know about creation? And what do we believe about creation? And how does that impact our faith? So we're going to reference several scripture passages this morning. But you know, in the Bible, we have the creation story. There's two of them, right? Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, and they complement each other so wonderfully. But we're going to listen to Genesis 1. So Lucas, if you want to come on up at this time, we're going to listen to, and it's going to take just a minute because Genesis 1 is a fairly long chapter in the Bible, but I thought, you know, what better thing could we do on a day in which we're talking about creation than just to listen to the creation story? And here's what I would love to invite you to do. As Lucas reads Genesis 1 for us, I would love to invite you, now don't fall asleep on me, but close your eyes. And our minds can paint such wonderful pictures of what we hear. So just listen to what Lucas is reading, and just in your mind, as best you can, just picture what God is doing here in Genesis 1. Lucas, would you please read our passage for us?
Thanks, Josh. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees in the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser night to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Lucas, for reading our passage for us. If you have your eyes closed yet, I'll invite you to open them with me now. And, you know, there's so much that could be said about creation. And but what I want to do this morning is to frame our time around one sentence that I believe will summarize what we believe about creation. So we're going to start at the beginning of that sentence. And the sentence begins like this. God creates. God creates. When we talk about creation, we have to talk about God. What's the very first thing we heard Lucas read? In the beginning, God created. I mean, how amazing is that? That the third thing, you know, this book of the Bible, which is so big, so thick, of all the things we learn in the Bible, the first thing we learn is when, in the beginning. The second thing we learn is who, God. And the third thing we learn is the happening, the event, the action, God created. That of all the things we learn, God created. And here's the thing, it's not just here in Genesis 1:1, but throughout Scripture, throughout all the different books of the Bible, through countless different genres within the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, right? And I put just a few of the scripture references here on the screen just to kind of show the different books of the Bible. But there's so many references to that give credit to God, that praise God, that declare that God is creator. And when we think about God as creator, we don't just think about God the Father as creator, though God the Father is creator, but creation is a triune act. We talk about the Trinity. We talked about this a couple weeks ago with God, the Trinitarian God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, each person involved in creation. In the book of John, chapter 1, it says that through Him, through the Word, who is Jesus, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Or the passage we looked at a couple weeks ago in Colossians chapter 1, for by Him, Jesus again, all things were made. And it goes on and says, all things were created by Him and for Him. And the book of Hebrews chapter 1 says this, that in the last days He, God, has spoken to us through His Son, through whom He made the universe. And then not to be left out, we see here in Genesis 1, the Spirit of God hovering over the waters at creation. And we know that the Holy Spirit is understood to be the one who gives life amidst creation. And so when we say that God creates, we're thinking God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit as Creator God. And it was God's will to do this. It was God's desire to do this. So what I want to do with you a couple of times this morning, I want to try to bend our minds a little bit, okay? Try to get our minds around this thought, right? So, because I don't know, I can't stand up here, I do not know what was before the beginning that is spoken of here in Genesis 1. You ever try to get your mind around that? Like, what was going on before the beginning? I don't know what that was like. I know that God existed because God is eternal. God has no beginning. God has no end, which, again, that kind of blows my mind as well, because our finite minds, we are so conditioned to think about a beginning and an end, a start and a stop. That happens in all the things of our life, right? Our lives have a beginning and an end, a birth and a death. Our years have a beginning and an end. January 1, December 31, our days have a beginning and an end. Every meeting, every school day, it all has a beginning and an end, but God is eternal. And so God existed before the beginning. And at some moment, what we call the beginning, here is what's labeled the beginning in Genesis 1, at some moment, completely of His own choosing, completely of His own desire, completely of His own will, God decided, I'm going to make all this. Genesis 1 verse 3, and God said, God spoke. Not once, not twice, not three times, but eight times in Genesis 1, God said, let there be something, and there was something. God speaks, and God creates. Psalm 33, verse 6, we'll put it here on the screen, says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth. I love this quote from a 4th century theologian. This is a long time ago. His name is Basil of Caesarea. But I love this quote. He writes that the maker of the universe needed only the impulse of His will to bring the immensities of the visible world into being. Isn't that beautiful? God desired to make all of this. And so He spoke it into being. Everything we see, everything that we talked about a few moments ago when we talked to our neighbor, all of that and everything else, God created. So that's the first part of our sentence. God creates. Here's the second part. Out of nothing. God creates out of nothing. Now, you ready for a little bit more mind-bending stuff? I mean, you probably came here this morning and said, oh, creation, we're going to talk about mountains and waterfalls and unicorns, not unicorns, right? But we're going to talk about all this beautiful creation, but I'm going to play with our minds here just a little bit again, right? Because think about this with me. Before all of this was God, and that's it. Nothing was here but nothingness. What does that even mean, right? How do we make sense of that? But nothing was here but nothingness. There was God, and that's it. And I don't know where exactly God was. I can't give you coordinates to plug into Google Maps so you can find him on your GPS. God was just here. And then God decided, and again, what we call the beginning, to create. So he speaks, and where there was nothing, now there was something. I don't know if you know this about me or not. Did you know that I like to bake? Have I ever told you that before? And if I don't say so myself, I'm not too bad at it. The problem is that I like to eat what I bake, right? Several years ago when we were living in Michigan, I was the pastor at North Holland, sweet Lorraine Brower came over to the parsonage, and I had asked her to come over, and she shared with me her famous cinnamon roll made from scratch recipe. And she taught me how to make cinnamon rolls from scratch. And they continue to be a favorite of our family to this very day. So I know how to make cinnamon rolls from scratch. I do not go to the store and get that prepackaged powder where you add an egg and add a tablespoon of vegetable oil and put it together and there you go. No, these cinnamon rolls are made from scratch. But here's the thing. I make them from scratch, we say, but I don't make them out of nothing. I still have to use ingredients like flour and milk and water and an egg, and you mix that and other things together and the yeast, and you mix it together and you let it rise, and then you roll it out, and then you spread on some butter, lots of butter, and then you put on brown sugar, and then you pat it down, and then you sprinkle on cinnamon, and then you roll it back up, and you cut it into sections, and you place those sections in a pan that is filled already with some caramel topping. And you know what, I've been thinking about homemade cinnamon rolls all week long. You know what I did yesterday? I made some homemade cinnamon rolls, and I had the help of my daughter Hannah. She helped me make these, and I'm just going to tell you, they're good. They're good. But I kid you not, when I was writing this part of the message earlier this week, I was writing this part, literally my stomach growled as I was writing about this. And honestly, I don't eat Sunday morning before I preach. I can't do that. And so I've been looking at these all morning long preaching here. I'm smelling them right now. Can I have like a TV timeout and just, can I eat these just a little bit? Is that okay? No, I think I better leave them here because there's four of them on here. I'll probably just eat them all. They're that good, right? But I can make cinnamon rolls from scratch. Not with a powdered, pre-powdered packaged stuff, but from scratch. But I cannot make these cinnamon rolls out of nothing. God created the world out of nothing. Let me teach you a Latin phrase, two words, ex nihilo. Say that with me, ex nihilo. Ex nihilo means, where's Isley? We talked about this week. Isley was here at church. I said, you guys were talking about creation this week, weren't you? And so I said, ex nihilo. Isley, do you remember what ex nihilo means? Out of nothing. Yes, this is the Latin phrase. This is how we describe the doctrine of creation. What did God do? He created ex nihilo. Say it again with me. Ex nihilo, out of nothing. God creates out of nothing. Here's the next part of the sentence. Something good. In our conversations that we had just a moment ago when we shared with each other, I hope that you shared why, right? What stirs your heart when you see the beauty of creation and you could reflect about the wonders of what you were seeing there. Well, God has something to say about creation as well. Just like a sculptor wants to admire her sculpture and speak well about it, God, when he created this all and he made it out of nothing, God, not once, not twice, not three times, but six times in Genesis 1, God steps back and says, that's good. And then one more time, the very last time, after he makes human beings in his own image, God pauses and looks at it all and he says, that is very good. And friends, it makes sense that creation is good. Yes, because creation comes from God. And God is good. God is holy. God is pure. God is perfect. God is gracious. God is faithful. And those that is which is of God reflects God. What God creates carries his fingerprints. And friends, that includes you and me. You and I who have been created in his image, we are very good. And so when God creates here in Genesis 1, Genesis 2, God pauses and what he created is so good. Now some of us might be saying, well what about evil though? What about we look at this world and things are messed up. What about that sinful nature you talk about all the time? Yeah, that's true. Next week we're going to talk about humanity and we're going to talk about sin. So I'll save most of that for then. But let me just say this part right now. God created this world and it was very good. But evil is an intrusion into a good creation. Saint Augustine, who is one of the foremost, most well-known, powerful theologians of the early church, he has this quote that I'll share with you here. Saint Augustine says this, "Evil is not a substance. It is the perversion of a nature that is essentially good. For since an original perfection is ascribed to creation," what that means is God declared creation good, For since an original perfection is ascribed to creation, the evil that is present in the world had to come later. So in other words, if all things exist because a good, holy, pure, perfect, faithful, loving God created them, then all things share in that essential goodness that is of God. Evil is an intrusion into a good creation. It does not originate from God. So bottom line is this, this world that God creates out of nothing is good. And here's how the sentence ends. God creates out of nothing something good to serve his purpose. Psalm 24 verse 1 says it this way, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." God created everything, and everything belongs to him. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the sovereignty of God, and we said that what that means is that God reigns and God rules. So God is in control over all things, including creation itself. Creation serves a purpose for our sovereign God, and we talked about one of those purposes a couple of weeks ago. The very first week we had this sermon series, we talked about how creation helps us understand that there is a God and points us to God. That when we look at the glory and the majesty of creation, this idea of natural revelation, it shows it points us to a God who is there. This general knowledge of God. That's one of the purposes of creation. Another purpose of creation is so that you and I praise God. It leads us in praising of God. You know, when we stand before those magnificent mountains, when we hear the roar of those waterfalls, when we try to take in the expanse of an ocean, when we're in awe of the colorful display of tropical fish, when we gawk at the starry host, when we try to get our minds around the limitless universe, all of that leads us to praise and honor and glorify our Creator God. And creation, part of its purpose is not just to lead us in praise of God, but creation itself praises God. When the nightingale sings her beautiful song, when the stars twinkle at night, when the rivers race, when the gazelles run, when the sun paints a picture in the morning sky, when the humpback whale flops onto the ocean surface, when the redwoods stand tall and strong, all of that in its own way is a praising of God. It's what we sang earlier. Did you notice when we sang? It's what we're going to sing again later this morning. Creation, all of creation, praising the name of the Lord. Psalm 148, which Joel included in his prayer earlier, it's one of the great passages that speaks to all of creation praising God. We're going to hear more from Psalm 148 in just a couple of moments as we continue in worship this morning. So here's our sentence. We're going to put this on the screen here. As the praise team is going to kind of join us here this morning, they're going to come on up and get ready. But I would like you to focus your attention on the sentence. And I'm going to read it aloud, then I'm going to ask you to read it with me. God creates out of nothing something good to serve His purpose. Can you read that aloud with me? Ready? God creates out of nothing something good to serve His purpose. Let's read that one more time. God creates out of nothing something good to serve His purpose. Friends, if we can get that in our hearts and in our minds, then I believe we have a wonderful core understanding of creation. What creation is and what creation is about. And here's why the doctrine of creation matters. Here's why we would spend an entire Sunday morning just talking about creation. Because what we see in creation not only speaks to us, but it is about us. Because that same sentence we see there on the screen, that same sentence is also our story. That sentence applies to you and to me. I'm going to put another scripture passage on the screen. This is 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new," help me out, "creation." When we are in Jesus Christ, which means that we know Jesus and we love Jesus, we believe who Jesus is and have accepted Him to be our Lord and Savior. When we are in Christ, Scripture says we are a new creation. And all the same points that we've talked about this morning, about everything about creation, those points apply to us as well. God creates. Us being in Christ is a work of God. It's an act of God, His work within us, out of His good will, out of His free will, His purpose. His desire is to move within us, to give to us that gift of faith so that we can believe in the goodness of Jesus Christ. God is at work in us for us to come to Jesus. God creates out of nothing. We do have that sinful nature we talked about a moment ago. We are, as Scripture says, dead in our sins. We are spiritually dead. We are worthless. There's a nothingness to us. And there is nothing that we can do. There's no ingredients that we can mix together. There's nothing that we can do on our own to achieve, to help ourselves out. But God does something good. He sends His Son, Jesus Christ. And because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, we can then have the hope of forgiveness of sins. And because Jesus rose from the dead through His resurrection, we can have the promise of everlasting life. We are saved in the name of Jesus, this good thing that God has done. And we who were once dead, we who were once worthless, we who were once objects of wrath, as Scripture says, now because of Jesus, God sees us as good. We take on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God creates something good. And He does it for a purpose. Our purpose, though, there's this old catechism called the Westminster Confession. It says, what is our purpose as humanity? That's the first question. It says, our purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's our purpose as human beings, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So this life that I now live in Jesus Christ is not my own life to live, but my life, because of what God's grace has done for me through Jesus Christ, my life is now lived for the glory of God, to the praise of God, because He loves me and because His grace has been shown to me. My life is now lived for the purposes of God, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Would you read the sentence with me again, please? God creates out of nothing something good to serve His purpose. That sense is true of creation, and that sense is true for you and for me. And so what I want to do this morning is I want us to live into that purpose right now. That you and I, in whom God has done something so good, He has given us new life in Jesus Christ. Let us live into our purpose. Let us use this voice of ours. Let's use our life of ours. Let's join all of creation. Let's join all creatures of our God and King. And let's worship our great and wonderful God.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.